الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. On page number 14 of the booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam, published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, saying of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam number 40 is, whoever recites Salat upon me 200 times on Friday, his sins of 200 years will be forgiven. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Tonight is the 10th night of the auspicious month, the month of Shaykh Abdul Qadir, i.e. Rabi'ul Akhir, 1437 Hijri. Madani Muzakara is being conducted in the Global Madani Markaz, Faizan-e-Madina, Babul Madina, Karachi. Moreover, we shall also include righteous intentions in it, as we attain reward only if we have righteous intentions, otherwise there is no reward. So intentions are to be made according to your own state. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Whenever Sallu ala al-Habib will be proclaimed, I will recite salawat loudly, so that it also pleases the one who proclaimed Sallu ala al-Habib, and wherever my voice reaches, all those things become a witness for me. Moreover, it would also make me attentive. When we proclaim Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad loudly, it will remove drowsiness and laziness, etc. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Please ask questions. It's not necessary that I'm able to reply every question, and that too correctly. If possible, I will try to reply it. If you find me making mistake, rectify me straight away. You won't find me beating around the bush or sticking to my opinion unnecessarily. Rather, you'll find me grateful to you whilst rectifying myself. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Beloved Murshid al-Karim, my name is Anisa Attaya. I am from Gujarat. My question is that when an elderly Islamic brother asks you a question, you do not get as happy as when a Madani child asks you a question. What is the reason for this? Jazakallahu khairah.
Subhanallah. Not only I get happy, others smile as well. Allah Almighty has kept this sense of compassion towards the Madani children. Now some are more compassionate towards them and some are less. And then there are some who have no compassion whatsoever towards the children. Children seek their attention, but their face is made up as usual. They pay no attention. Then there are some who are only compassionate towards their own children. They don't care about other children. This is not a good practice either. 99.9% people would be like this. There would be 1 in million who perhaps would be compassionate towards other children too. I've observed it a lot. Even I at times feel it. Now people are compassionate towards my sons, my grandsons. They mainly do so due to the association of tariqah that we have. But even then, there are some who still don't do it, and that really hurts my feelings, as my son is seeking his attention but he's paying no attention towards him. Out of compassion, he could have at least placed his hand over his head. My child would have become happy had he smiled at him. My grandson, granddaughter would have become pleased. Anyhow, as far as I am concerned, state of my matters is completely different. So I generally have compassion towards all the children. It's just embedded into my nature. I show compassion even to ordinary children. It's not necessary that one likes every child all the time. At times, some children are very dirty. One doesn't feel compassionate towards them. But I try to be compassionate even towards such kind of child, so that the child and his father both get pleased. Today as well, a small girl was a bit scared and walking behind. I put her at the front, thinking that when her parents see her, they would also become happy to see her on the screen. She was going back and forth. Anyhow, they would train the kids, saying that walk together. It's not important to go close otherwise. If there's a procession or any such occasion where there is camera as well, then walk along with it in order to gain its blessings. We'll watch you from home. I believe that this training would be given. It's a strong assumption. We are training our children to become desirous of fame and dignity from their childhood, when they're not accountable for anything. But I've seen the passion of these young children. They come to me with a great passion. When they grow up, they'll be in trouble. If this greed gets embedded in them, greed of fame, etc., appearing on the TV screen is a great, great, great risk. They're foolish people who for no reason stick their heads out and look here and there, that somehow they come in the camera. What would the glance of camera do? Get the glance of Mustafa, glance of Ghauth-e-Pak, then you will succeed. Hazrat Sheikh Shahabuddin Sohrawardi, alayhi rahmatullah al-Qawi, himself is the leader of awliya. His shrine is in Baghdad. He was a very big wali. He was inclined towards ilm-e-kalam. Then one glance of Ghauth-e-Pak made him forget everything and taught him that knowledge that made him completely devout and blessed him with the rank of sainthood. He became the leader of the Sohrawardiya spiritual chain. All the Sohrawardis that exist on the face of this earth today are called Sohrawardis due to being associated with him. Sheikh Shahabuddin Sohrawardi, alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi, have you been to his shrine in Baghdad Sharif? You know, when we fortunately got to the door of his shrine, the door was shut, as was the case when you went. So we got there and the door was shut. So it was as if he's been bestowed with powers from Allah Almighty that he sent someone who opened up the door. A person came and opened the door from inside. We said we want you to behold the shrine. He was an Arab and he took us inside. Then I think he opened another door, and then another third one. So I think after opening three doors, we were able to go and behold the blessed shrine. I vaguely remember it. So that was Sayyiduna Sheikh Shahabuddin Sohrawardi, alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi. Although we are Qadiri, it doesn't mean that na'uzu billah we are prejudiced towards Sohrawardis, Chishtis or Naqshbandis. They all are crown of our head. Alhamdulillah, all these spiritual chains lead to the same path. Whether someone goes by plane or takes a train, someone goes by car or decides to walk, destination is Medina. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. So what I was saying was that Sayyidina Sheikh Shahabuddin Sohrawardi, alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi, who was a highly ranked waliullah, in fact, leader of awliya. He was in Masjidul Khaif during the time of Hajj. Normally, a lot of people are gathered there. So Masjidul Khaif is situated in Mina Sharif. So he was walking inside the blessed masjid back and forth. He didn't look busy in any other activity either. So someone asked him, Huzur, what are you doing? He said that I'm getting a glance of a righteous person of Allah Almighty on me. I'm just looking for one glance. So, discussion started from the sight of the camera. That coming in the sight of camera will not help. A glance of Ghauth-e-Pak will make us successful. May the glance of camera not throw us into the pits of destruction. So it's very dangerous. So there are some people who are frequently seen on the screen. They also perhaps sit at a place where they know the camera will shoot the most. Right in front of the camera, where shots are taken again and again. So there are certain people whom you will find at specific places. But then I've also come across those people who stay away from camera. I saw one Madani child during children's transmission that we normally do on the occasion of Eid al-Adha. I've come across only one such Madani child, whom I spoke to. I have felt few more children to be like this as well. Those children don't really give too much attention to the camera. So, I called the child to come to me, but he said no to me. So I asked him the reason for it. So what I vaguely remember is that someone from his house, his mom or dad, told him not to go in front of the camera. You should not be seen on the screen. I came across only one such example. Well, it's not a sin anyway. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. However, if one appears with the intention of gaining fame and becoming famous, then this is condemned. This is a very bad habit. It's not good. However, it's good to make children realize it. But here they specially train their children and send them to me. I've got a lot of experience of it. Allah knows best what intention one has. This shouldn't happen. Children are being mistrained over here. They wouldn't be picking much right now. But this could possibly lead to their destruction in future due to the desire of fame. May Allah protect us all from this evil. One might be thinking that I come on the screen all the time. Now I'm saying all this because my own desire is fulfilled. Okay then, take out what suits you. If it is harmful for you what I'm saying, then don't see who's saying it. Just see what he's saying. Because what my situation at the moment is that I cannot be left out from Madani channel. I'm on it the whole day. At times, for sake of argument, I tried that when I'm not needed, I sat around in a corner, but then the camera comes to me. So where do I hide myself? So I disturb the camera for no reason, then I have no choice but to come at the front. So this also has happened to me, and my presence over here is necessary. Otherwise, Madani Muzakara cannot be conducted and broadcasted on Madani channel. But everyone shall ponder whether he's needed on the channel, whether he brings grace to the channel. Would my presence benefit Sunniyat in any way? Will Sunnahs be propagated and calls towards righteousness will be conveyed? Would my presence impress people? Would they get pleased? So one shall ponder accordingly. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasooluhu a'lam. عز وجل وصلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
My name is Sajjad Raza Attari. My question to you is that those whose parents have passed away from this world, their children are lazy in conveying them thawab and also are lazy in going to their graves. Please grant us an easy Madani solution that how we can convey them thawab, how can we visit their graves, and how can we attain steadfastness upon it.
Going to the graveyard in general is an act of reward, as long as the laws of Sharia are abided by. In regards to going to the graves of parents, it has distinctively been mentioned and stated in the blessed ahadith, mercy of the mankind, the most generous and kind, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, the one who visits the graves of his parents or either one of them on the day of Friday, Allah Almighty will forgive his sins and he will be inscribed as the one performing goodness with the parents. Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, the one who makes the vow of his parents true after their passing away and pays off their loan and does not get them called bad by calling someone else's parents bad, then he will be inscribed as the one performing goodness to his parents, even if he was disobedient to them during their lifetime. And the one who does not fulfill their vow and does not pay back their loan and gets them called bad by calling someone else's parents bad, then he will be inscribed as disobedient even if he used to perform goodness with them during their lifetime. So when there is such persuasion and virtues of visiting parents' graves, then it's understood that visiting the shrines of the blessed awliya is also a privilege, it's also an act of reward. Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam himself used to come to the blessed shrines of the martyrs of Uhud every year. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My name is Hafiz Fatahullah Qadri Attari. I am from Okara, Punjab. My question in your court is that some people say that do not start any new work, activity, etc. on the day of Thursday. They say the same about Friday, that is not an appropriate day. One shall not start any new task on this day. So please guide us on the fact whether we shall start a new work on these days or not.
I have generally observed that people inaugurate their shops on Friday. As the day of Friday is a blessed day. And for after Salatul Jum'ah, it's even mentioned in the Holy Quran, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Then when Salah is completed, so disperse in the land and seek Allah's benevolence, lawful sustenance. So see it yourself. So these are just misconceptions. One shall not believe this at all. You can also do so on Thursday, and so can you do so on a Friday. There is no such day that is a misfortune. Allama Sayyid Muhammad Amin bin Umar bin Abdul Aziz Shami Quddisa Sirruhu Sami writes, a question was asked to Allama Hamid Afandi alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi. Are there certain days that are a misfortune or auspicious in which one shall not travel or do other activities? To which he replied that the one who questions whether some days are a misfortune, then he shall be ignored from answering, i.e. give him no attention at all, and his action shall be referred to as ignorance. Moreover, he shall also be condemned. Having such beliefs is the way of disbelievers. It's way of disbelievers. It's not the way of Muslims, whom rely on Allah Almighty. You see how severely and strongly this has been denied. For those who consider a certain day to be misfortune, that a task shall not be started on a certain day. I read out this narration before you from Tanqihul Fatawa al-Hamidiyah. Volume 2, page 367 is the reference. So this narration is mentioned in it. Bad Shaguni is a very brief and small booklet printed by Maktabat al-Madinah, consisting of 126 pages. It's a very beautiful booklet. Definitely get hold of it. If you haven't read it, then please do read it. So please try your best, and whatever happens, do read this book. You will acquire immense amount of knowledge. There would perhaps hardly be anyone who would remain safe from ill omen in our society. Environment inside the homes is also the same that helps in developing ill omen. They consider different people to be a misfortune. So please do get hold of it. You'll also develop a mindset to refrain from it in future. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. My question is that in what year did Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam offer his first Jum'ah? And how many Jum'ahs did he alayhi salatu wa sallam offer? Maktabatul Madinah's booklet, Blessings of Jum'ah, it states on page number 3. Sadrul Afazil, Hazrat Allama Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi alayhi rahmatullahi al-Hadi states, when Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam came to Medina after performing migration, then on 12th Rabi'ul Awwal, on the day of Monday, at the time of Jasht, stayed at the place called Quba. So he stayed at Quba. He alayhi salam stayed there on the day of Monday, the day of Tuesday, the day of Wednesday, and Thursday, and laid the foundations for a masjid. Then he, alayhi salatu wasalam, intended to leave for Medina on Friday, i.e. he proceeded ahead towards Medina. On the way, when he reached the tribe of Bani Salim ibn Auf, in that area, the area of Bani Salim ibn Auf, Jum'ah time approached. People turned that place into a masjid. Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam offered the salah of Jum'ah over there and delivered a sermon. Alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, even today, the great masjid of Jum'ah is established there and visitors behold it to attain blessings from it and offer nawafil over there. How many Jum'ahs did Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam offer? This was also part of the question. So it's stated on page 4 of Blessings of Jum'ah. The renowned commentator, Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan alayhi rahmatul Hannan, states that Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam offered approximately 500 Jum'ahs. It is because Jum'ah started after migration took place. And after the migration, the apparent life of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam remained for 10 years. That's the number of Jum'ahs in that period of time. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
My name is Rizwan Qadri Attari. I'm calling from Mandi Bahauddin. My question is that beggars come in large numbers in markets on Thursdays. They already have a lot of money with them. How is it to give them further charity?
Actually, people have the mindset of giving charity on Thursday over here, giving sadaqah, etc., which is a noble act. And then the beggars also proclaim loudly that you gain more reward on Thursday. So, people end up giving to them. So the ruling is that if a deserving person asks for money on Thursday, then it is permissible for him to ask, and it's permissible to give him as well. However, there would be very few deserving people. Nowadays, deception is prevalent, and the money they already have, that would be very small amount which would be visible to everyone. If they show bunches of notes, then who's gonna give them? They don't even wear nice clothes. They've got a whole setup. Moreover, some of them would even be working elsewhere. On Thursdays, they would wear the old torn clothes and come to the market to deceive people. They are very clever in this sense. They know exactly that what time can they get money from people. That's how clever they are. They won't come early morning, as people will tell them off that we haven't had any sales yet. So they will go to them once they've had few sales. They'll come more frequently in Ramadan, as business flourishes in Ramadan. And people tend to give more charity in Ramadan, so they fall ill as well as get hold of an x-ray. They also show others a medical report. So they do all these kind of things in the blessed month of Ramadan, and people keep giving them. If you have the desire to live, then create an identity for yourself. So it's not permissible to give money to a non-deserving person when we are sure that he is not a deserving person. As in, giving a gift is something else. We may even give gifts to millionaires when we have relations with them, but those who specially question for it themselves, giving them won't be a gift, as they're begging for it, asking charity. Who will give them a gift? These kind of people shall not be given. These seasonal beggars of Thursdays are generally very rich and businessmen. Professionals they are. And you should definitely give to a deserving person. So many people have come here. Some of them perhaps would also be such who would have questioned others to come here. That we want to see Faizane Medina, we want to behold so and so person. So they would have questioned others to come here. So asking such questions for such purpose is also haram. Like, give me money, I want to see my sheikh. Give me travel expenses. And he would carefully choose a devoted peer brother of his. If there are any such brothers, then they shall repent as well as return money back to them. Return it and say to them that, we didn't know about this ruling before. We went over there and learnt it. So now, what will happen? We've taken the money and spent it. So we'll return it to you gradually in small amounts. So say this to them. So one cannot ask in this way. This is severely condemned. So those who've come over here by asking someone else for money, remember that you can't even question others even to go to Medina. Like, give us money, we want to perform Hajj, Umrah. This is not permissible either to question for it. Hazrat Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma states that the mercy of the mankind, Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, someone amongst you will keep questioning to the extent that he will meet Allah Almighty in such a state that he will not even have a single piece of flesh on him. Hazrat Sayyiduna Samura bin Jundab radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, the mercy of the mankind, the beloved, and the blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, questioning is like a scratch, as by doing so a person scratches his own face. So whoever wants can keep this scratch on his face, and whoever wants can leave it. Saying of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that if people knew what lies in asking others, then no one would go to anyone for asking anything. Saying of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, one who begs to increase his wealth begs for a burning coal. So it's up to him whether he wants to beg for more or beg for less. Saying of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, one who neither faces starvation nor has so many children that he can't look after and opens up the door of begging, then Allah will open the door of starvation upon him from a place beyond his imagination. I have read this out from Maktabatul Madina's published booklet, Faizane Zakat. In fact, it is a book. From page number 140 to 141. So those who have come by asking others have done completely wrong. However, there's no harm in asking from your parents. Similarly, there's no harm if a father asks from his son. Like, they go to the influential personalities and those whom they know and other people and beg that, look, I'm going. However, if you have such mutual understanding with someone where you both share each other's things, as in you borrowed something of him and he borrowed something from you, you have such mutual understanding with each other. Now, taking something from him will have a separate ruling, as in he at times also takes things from you, etc. So this is a different matter. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ أَعْلَمُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
A question in the court of Amir Ahl Sunnah is that people often leave the leftover food, saying that the leftover food should not be consumed. So is there any virtue as well as for eating the leftover food, or what shall we do with the leftover food? Please guide us on this matter.
It is stated in a blessed hadith that Surul Mu'mini Shifa'un, there is cure in the leftover of a believer. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ أَعْلَمُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدِ صَلَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ
Dear Amir of Ahl Sunnah, we have received a question that if a person is in the state of wudu while working in a hospital and someone catches blood on his hands, will wudu invalidate?
Wuzu does not break if someone else's blood comes on your body. It's impure blood, it shall be washed away. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ أَعْلَمُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ صَلُّوا عَلَىٰ الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدِ The one who recited لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم 3 times, then it's as if as he attained Shabeq Qadr. Let's recite it together. La ilaha illallah. Al-Halim al-Kareem. Subhanallah. Rabb al-Samawati. السبعي ورب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبعي ورب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم صلوا على الحبيب حضرت سيدنا عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما states When reciting this dua three times whilst getting up from a gathering, his sins are forgiven. And the one who recites it in a righteous gathering and a gathering of zikr, then goodness will be sealed upon for him. Let's recite it together. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Subhanaka Allahumma, wa bihamdika, la ilaha illa anta. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك صلوا على الحبيب